Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions. Right here, remember FDIC, equal housing. Linda, Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Going to be joined by our friend David Beauclair coming up at 7:30 from SI.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Tennessee Titans as they look ahead to the Dolphins this week. The choice is yours coming up at 7:45 as well. So looking forward to that coming up this hour. Right now, got a special edition of NFL Buy or Sell that I want to toss your way. Joe Rexroad, are you prepared for this?
No, let it be known that I waited to talk before I unmuted myself. Yes. Yes, I am, for the record.
All right. Well, let's get rolling on that front. Buy or sell, the Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in the NFL right now. Buy or sell, the Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in the NFL. Joe Rexroad, do you buy or do you sell?
I'm going to sell. Okay. I think they're the best team in the AFC. You know, I still think that if the Chiefs playing the way they are now, played the Packers at their best, the Bucs at their best, and honestly, maybe even the Rams and Cowboys, but that's hazier. But I think those two teams I mentioned, Packers, Bucs, even with the Bucs injuries, I think I would favor the two NFC teams. We've talked about the difference in the conferences a lot. The AFC is loaded with a bunch of good teams, and some good teams aren't going to be in the playoffs. The NFC is not going to have really good teams who miss the playoffs. Like, they're so top-heavy, but I think the top is definitely better, and I think the Chiefs, to me, aren't the clear best team in the NFL. I know a lot of people would probably disagree with me right now.
It's interesting because I think their defense is playing much better than I ever thought they would halfway through the season with the way they're playing right now. We talked to Charles about that yesterday. I will sell as well. I would still give, I think, the slight edge, and I'm talking real slight, to the Packers and to the Bucks as well. But it's really close. Kansas City, tell you what, you go look, if you do a deeper dive into the numbers, we keep talking about how their offense doesn't look like it's all the way back, and it's looked better the last few weeks. Some of the analytics, they're pretty good. Still pretty good on offense, that Kansas City team. They're going to be a problem as they move forward here. All right. Derrick Henry coming back makes the Titans the biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC. Do you buy or do you sell?
Yeah, I buy. I buy that one. And not by a ton, you know, because, look, the Colts are good right now. You know, the Colts are a good, well-rounded football team. It would be a tough out, you know, for the Titans to try to beat them a third time. I think we saw with the Bills, Josh Allen and those receivers, still really dangerous. And, of course, it's interesting. The Titans and Bills, of course, both enjoyed playing Kansas City at a point of the season, and they may not enjoy it that much now. But I think you give Derrick Henry back to the Titans. And when you say that, I guess I know that you don't know, and it's not up to you to keep answering questions about this. I mean, I would ask, though, like, what version of Derrick Henry? How much Derrick Henry? How is he full? Here he is, and he's carrying the mail all day, Derrick Henry, or mix him in, and you have the threat of Derrick Henry. I mean, I think that's a big consideration. But look, they have been running the ball for the most part pretty well, even without him. And you put him back in there. With everything else they have going on defense, and then now that we've seen A.J. Brown look like A.J. Brown, I think they're the most complete team when they're healthy, other than Kansas City. And I agree with you on Kansas City. Like, I did not expect – I understand that Chris Jones, you know, way better inside than outside, but the fact that seems to have made such a difference is crazy. But I think it's also just a lot of gelling on that side of the ball, and they have a good D coordinator. I mean, Steve Spagnuolo has proved himself time and time again. But anyway, to get back to the actual question here, I do think the Titans have the edge over the Colts, Bills. You know, I just don't think the Bengals are ready yet. I don't think the Patriots are ready yet. I think that's probably my top four. I think one of those four teams is going to be in L.A. Chiefs, Titans, Bills, Colts.
I buy as well. It really just comes down to the trust level in the AFC. And look, I don't fully trust the Titans, but I will say their defense and the way that they've played when they're healthy makes me feel pretty good. I mean, and look, I realize in this matchup specifically with Kansas City, this was a different Kansas City team than we're talking about right now. So I understand that. But the Titans defense in that game was dominant. I mean, they dominated Kansas City in that game. So do I have confidence that it would go that way again? No, I don't. I think Kansas City would put up some points. I think they'd find a way to move the ball much better against this Titans defense than they did the first time. But if Derrick Henry's back in there, I still think the Titans might have the best shot against Kansas City in the AFC. I know Buffalo got a big win against New England, and they've already beaten Kansas City once this year too. I still think at some point in the playoffs, you're going to have to be able to run the ball to some degree, and I'm just not convinced that Buffalo can do that. So I will buy that the Titans with Derrick Henry back are the biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC. It's not by a huge margin, though. I'm not just adamant about it. So we'll see what happens on that front. All right, let's flip it around then. The Titans can still make a deep run in the playoffs, and by deep run, I mean get to the AFC title game. The Titans can get to the AFC title game even without Derrick Henry. Do you buy or do you sell?
I buy because, you know, I still think they're going to be in close games. I mean, I don't see anybody in the AFC. Their chances are much, much better with him, obviously. Also, I would not buy the Titans beating the Chiefs without him. But getting to the AFC title game, yeah, I can buy it. Look, they could potentially still, I mean, if Cincinnati plays well this week and the Titans do what they should do, that could mean winning one home game. I mean, absolutely, I buy. I mean, if that's one of the scenarios that's possible, then I can't sell on the possibility of them getting the title game. It's one game at home. I mean, they can beat these other teams without Derrick Henry. It is possible. They've won big games without him. The Rams and Niners wins both are really good wins without Derrick Henry. So, yes, but it would be much tougher, obviously.
It would be much tougher. And I will say, if it's not the one seed and you're asking them to win two games to get the AFC title game, can they do it? Yes. Do I like their chances to do it without Derrick Henry? No, I really don't. So we'll see what happens on that front. All right. The Dallas Cowboys are the scariest offense in the NFC. The Dallas Cowboys are the scariest offense in the NFC. Do you buy or do you sell?
That's a great question. I think I'm going to buy on that. I guess I'm just buying everything today, but
big spender, Joe Rex.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm going to buy on that. Just, you know, people don't talk about Troy Pollard much, but such a explosive compliment is, in fact, I'd rather see him get the ball more than Ezekiel Elliott at this point. But that compliment of receivers, the way the offensive line's playing, Dak is getting clean pockets and he's playing at a high level and has tremendous weapons. I mean, I think, you know, just having Aaron Rodgers alone and Devontae Adams, I mean, that you could still make a case there. Like, that connection right there is just like, it's the, like, what are you going to do with those guys, you know? And they can run the ball too. But yeah, I think just because of the diversity of the outside weapons in particular, to go with two really good backs, I'm going to buy.
I'm selling. Give me the Packers. Cool.
Homer.
He's at a different level right now, man. I just trust him more than I trust anybody else. So I will sell just based off him.
we should at least give the Rams like a mention because Odell Beckham has been, I mean, better than I would have guessed. And I thought they'd be in big trouble without Robert Woods.
Well, look, I know that the Bucs just lost Chris Godwin. They're still pretty darn good offense. Like they're going to be fine as they move forward here.
Yeah, the tight ends. Yeah, it was great, by the way. Keyshawn Vaughn.
Yeah.
That's something I thought we would see earlier in his career. I think we're going to see it more in his career. That the 55-yard touchdown run he had, I was like, okay, that's the guy I remember from Vanderbilt. And he's got an opportunity now. And it's nice for them to have picked him and kind of had him stocked away. I'm sure he would have liked to have been playing more. But he's another guy who can – I mean, he can go. And then, you know, the tight ends, yeah, they're still okay at receiver. And I guess they're fine at quarterback.
Yeah, I guess they're okay. I guess he might be all right. We'll continue this edition of NFL Buy or Sell coming up next. Welcome more of your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are going through a special edition of NFL Buy or Sell. We'll be joined by David Beauclair from SI.com coming up at 7:30. So looking forward to that conversation. Joe Rex Road, we continue this edition of NFL Buy or Sell. I start with a question in the AFC South. Carson Wentz has been good enough for the Colts to convince them that he's the quarterback of the future. Carson Wentz has been good enough for the Colts to convince them he's the quarterback of the future. Do you buy or do you sell?
I'm selling.
Okay.
Now, I do think that the weeks to come are very important. It's trending better for him for sure. I mean, they could be in way better position had he not had some abominable turnovers. I don't know if a turnover can be abominable. I mean, a snowman can be, but just atrocious turnovers.
There's been some bad ones.
Again, Rams, Titans, and what's the other game that they absolutely
Bucks.
Yeah, and the Bucks. I mean, think about where the Colts would be without what he did late in those games. But let's also remember they were in position to win those games in part because of how he played as well. I mean, he looked like a totally different player against the Titans than he did in the first game because he could run around. He is very dangerous with his legs, and he can make big plays on broken plays. He's a good player. He's a good quarterback. But again, if you have those death turnovers, I mean, that's kind of a tough thing if you want to be a quarterback of the future. Health is also would be the other thing with him. Are they confident that, you know, Carson Wentz is going to stay in one piece moving forward? But look, if like last year, Phillip Rivers had great numbers and they had a good season, you know. But with him, you had the death turnovers, plus there was just some limitations at his age. You know, Carson Wentz still is at an age where, you know, a lot of football ahead of him. So I think if he plays really well down the stretch and in the playoffs, then I could switch that. But right now I've got to sell.
He played really well against Arizona. I thought he was really good against the Cardinals. And look, you're right. He's had some moments this year where the turnovers have been bad. He had a couple in the last game against the Titans in Indianapolis that were not good. So that's a problem. I'm going to sell slightly. Although I will say, like, I am right there kind of on the line. Like, I've seen enough to think he's going to be a quarterback there next year. I'll put it that way. So I guess some of this depends on what you mean by quarterback of the future. But I think he's got a chance this postseason to maybe really establish himself there in Indianapolis. The turnovers are always something, and kind of that death decision that could cost the Colts a game. Look, that very well could happen at some point. Like if you force Carson Wentz to be the one to go win you a game, if you're a defense, I still have my doubts as to whether or not he can do that. Now, I also don't think he's got a great receiving core either. So I think Indy would be wise to maybe address that as they move forward here as well. But I will sell, although I'm right there kind of on the fence with Carson Wentz. All right, do you buy or do you sell the Jacksonville Jaguars interviewing Doug Peterson intrigues you if you're a Titans fan? Do you buy or do you sell?
Okay, I want to clarify on that. So in other words, like as a Titans fan, it worries you?
Yeah.
I buy. I think, you know, the fact that they're keeping the GM is still an indication of, maybe from the top down, there's some decisions in that organization that you have to wonder about. But that particular coach, I think obviously he has a track record of success, but also of quarterback development. So I would say, of the names, and there's some other good ones, and like I think Byron Leftwich could be, you know, a good head coach, but Peterson has done it at a high level, coached one of the best games we've ever seen in the biggest game there is, and he just seems like a guy who would bring some stability and normalcy there too, which clearly has been lacking in Jacksonville in various positions over the last several years.
I'm selling it. That place is so dysfunctional. I don't care if they hired, if they cloned Vince Lombardi and brought it back in there. It's reaching Detroit Lions territory for me, Joe Rexroad. It really is.
You may be right. I mean, it's, I guess one of the questions I would have is if you have, and I think Trevor Lawrence can still be great. It's not like we've seen this year, there is no doubt about it. But also for people who are wanting to start bailing on him, calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
But the question is, if he and a coach who have a good thing, can they overcome all that dysfunction? Maybe not. I mean, maybe if you have a bad GM, then ultimately it's not going to matter too much. So it's a good question. But I still say if that hire happens versus some of the other ones, it's more worrisome.
Both Baker Mayfield and Russell Wilson will be on different teams next year. Do you buy or do you sell?
I'm going to sell. I would buy if you just asked about Russ. But I still think Cleveland and Baker are going to stay together. And it's just from the Cleveland perspective, well, it is. I mean, the Tannehill comparison isn't bad because there's been extenuating circumstances. There's been a drop in production and efficiency and performance. For Baker, it's his own injuries, but they've also had a ton of other things go on there. For Tannehill, it's been things around him. I still think that the bulk of the evidence of both of him and Tannehill in their spots is, good quarterback. And you can do a lot worse than Baker Mayfield if you're the Cleveland Browns. I still think, although he gets a little snotty sometimes, I still think he's a good leader. And I don't think ultimately they're going to decide that they want to try someone else.
I buy it. I think they're both going to be on different teams next year. I think Cleveland, they look at their roster that they have and realize that with Nick Chubb, with everything they've got in place, they need a quarterback that can win them games. I think they go try to do that. I think Russell Wilson, that's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Is Pete Carroll going to be there next year? Is he going to decide to hang it up? Is he going to get fired? Is he going to come back? Has that relationship been, repaired based on some of the offseason reporting that we heard last year? But with the quarterback movement being what it is in today's NFL, I'm going to buy it. I think they're both on different teams next year. Maybe we'll see Russell Wilson as the starter of the Cleveland Browns.
Well, I was just going to say, who would Cleveland's target be? I'd be intrigued by Russ with the Browns, letting Russ cook on Lake Erie.
That's right.
That's the thing. And I agree with you that they have done a lot with the roster and they should be better than this. Again, some of these things are out of their control, what happened this year. But it's also, even with Russ, man, I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried about Russ here. He's not young And just because some quarterbacks are great in their late 30s and early 40s, some get banged up to the point where they can't be. And I don't know. I'm a little bit concerned about him.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks that are great into their late 30s and early 40s, my final buy or sell question for you before we get to David Beauclair. Tom Brady is the best team sport athlete of all time. Tom Brady is the best team sport athlete of all time. Joe Rexroad, do you buy or do you sell?
That's a big question. Gosh, that's tough. When you take it across sports, and I know you're just trolling me with this question anyway.
I am.
But I'm going to sell.
I knew you would.
So here's the thing. Quarterback's the most important position in the NFL, and a lot of people say, well, tell me the more important position, in any sport. But I mean, if we're counting, baseball as a team sport, I think you've got some dominant pitchers who you could say have more control of a game than a quarterback. I mean, it is you on the mound, and there's the hitter, right? So if we're counting that, sure. Baseball's then you can get into the basketball stuff too, which is I still think there's more direct ability to take over a game on a second-by-second basis in basketball. Look, like, again, in football, sometimes you're sitting there on the sideline, and you're like, God, I hope Pete Carroll doesn't run the ball and beat us. Oh, thank you, Pete Carroll. Yes! Now, Tom Brady did a lot in that game to win it, but ultimately he had to sit on the sideline because you're not on the field at all times, right?
Yeah.
So I think I'm selling because I actually think that other sports players and other sports have more – direct impact on winning, and some people would loudly argue with me. I understand.
Does it come down to Brady and Michael Jordan, your two favorite athletes of all time?
Maybe. I mean, goats all around. They're goated, man. They are goated. I'm not arguing.
This has been today's edition of Buy or Sell, a special NFL edition here on Robbie and Rexroad. When we come back, it is time to take a look at the Titans and the Dolphins. We'll be joined by our friend David Beauclair from SI.com. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend, David Beauclair from SI.com. David, what's going on? Merry Christmas to you and the family. Hope you all had a good one.
Robert, same to you. We did just fine here. It's good to be with you today.
Good to have you with us. We appreciate you joining us this morning. So, David, what do you make of this matchup for the Titans against the Dolphins? A Dolphins team that has lost 7 games in a row at one point this year and now has won 7 games in a row as well. First time that's happened in NFL history. What do you think of this one for the Titans as they host the Dolphins coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, I was glad to hear that was the first time in NFL history that had happened, because I was trying to remember any sort of turnaround similar to that, and and I couldn't do it. And you look at what they've done defensively. I mean, Miami is 6 of these last 7 wins they've held teams to 17 points or fewer, which in this day and age is a pretty remarkable defensive performance. So it feels to me like this is the Titans' chance to sort of finally really take a deep breath. This game, you've got Houston out there. You feel like that one's going to be a win in week 18, and so whatever happens this week, it doesn't really matter with the division race. I almost feel like if the Titans wanted to rest some people, maybe get Logan Woodside, for example, some playing time, this might be a week to do it, but that probably won't happen. More likely, I think the Titans need to try and keep building some momentum, keep working on some of the positives from Thursday night, and build toward what they hope will be a playoff push here.
Do you think there? I can't see. I can't find anything that's a given anymore with this team, David. Yeah. I'm impressed with your confidence because, maybe it's not being unfair of me to say that just about this team because you tell me. I can't recall a wackier year in the league, and I understand that COVID is part of that. But even separate from that, I feel like this is as wild and unpredictable a year as I can recall in this league. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, you can't week to week. It sort of changes, like who looks like they're a good team, who doesn't. Like right now, you're like, well, Cincinnati maybe is a team that scares you in the playoffs, but Cincinnati has had some clunker games along the way. I mean, everybody, you know, Cincinnati's like the Titans. They've lost to the Jets, right? And they've also lost to the Bears. And you're thinking, well, if you're a legitimate Super Bowl contender, you're not going to lose to those teams, just like the Titans have lost to the Texans and the Jets. But, you know, here they are. They've got a shot at the number one seed. And, you know, Kansas City, I guess scares you as much as anybody. And, I guess the best thing that can happen to the Chiefs every year is that they lose to the Titans. You know, you go back to 2019 when the Chiefs came here, the Titans beat them, and then the Chiefs didn't lose again. They, you know, they went on that run and ended up winning the Super Bowl. And you come to this year, Titans beat up on the Chiefs pretty good, 27-3 here at Nissan Stadium. Chiefs haven't lost since. So maybe that's the only certainty that there is in the NFL this year, that once the Titans beat the Chiefs, they're going to get right and get rolling from there. But yeah, I agree with you, Joe. It, you know, because New England a couple weeks ago, the way they whipped up on the Titans, you thought, well, that's a team that everybody's going to have to deal with now, and they're probably going to get the number one seed, and you know, now they're not even going to win their division probably. So it's going to make the playoffs really, I think, tough to predict and probably very interesting in a lot of ways.
David, we've talked obviously a lot this week about Derrick Henry, and Nashville is on Derrick Henry watch at this point. Tom Pelissero putting out there the other day that, you know, maybe he's even ready by week 18 against Houston. Is there any scenario where you're playing Derrick Henry in the regular season, or are you saving him to the playoffs no matter what?
If I'm playing him in the regular season, it's about 10 carries worth, you know, just to get him a little game action, just to get him, you know, sort of through a game week in terms of practicing and going through the pregame warmups and all that, so that it's not a shock to his system in the playoffs. But under no circumstances am I giving him 25 carries against the Texans, say, and like we're gonna pick up right where we left off with you and go with that. I think you know, if you're confident that he is absolutely good to go and he's not going to hurt himself again, or that, you know, the chances of him doing so are minimal, then I would say go ahead and do that just to get him a little bit of work, because I think, you know, the playoffs are obviously going to be a whole different animal, and if you're sort of trying to jump in right there, I think that's significantly harder. But you know, it's the most compelling drama on a team that's got a lot of drama going right now, that's for sure.
Talking to David Beauclair of SA.com. Excuse me. David, my gosh. See, this is how I normally don't repeat the guess. This is why I shouldn't do it. I just get to the question. But I'm going to try it again. David Beauclair, SI.com. Here's my question for you, David. I apologize. Ryan Tannehill looked like an NFL quarterback again Thursday against the Niners, at least in the second half. And obviously, A.J. Brown seems to make a difference. But what do you make of Tannehill's season? And what do you think Thursday means for him moving forward?
I think this season is sort of the statistical regression to the norm that everybody sort of looked for last year from Ryan Tannehill. It you know, he sort of bucked the system a little bit last year and maintained some statistical outliers that a little longer than most people would have suspected. But I think I think this is, you know, this we've seen a little bit more who he is, but I also think, you know, Thursday night we saw what A.J. Brown means to him. And, I mean, it got to the point where, he's one he has always said, you know, I don't have a favorite target. I go where the offense or where the defense, you know, dictates the throw has to go, this and that. Well, you know, that was a bunch of nonsense Thursday night, right? I mean, he was dropping back. He got to a certain point where he thought, I'm just throwing the ball to AJ. We're just playing pitch and catch. And the fact that he was able to do it as successfully as he was, the fact that AJ was able to make the kind of impact that he did in that game, I think gives everybody a whole lot of confidence going forward. I think it has to make Tannehill feel like he has, he has a little bit of a security blanket again and probably a little more confidence to make some of the throws that he wants to make. So it's, it's been a little bit of an up and down year for AJ too. The challenge for him now is to sort of stay at or near that level for the rest of the games, particularly in the postseason now.
David, what have you made of the job that Todd Downing has done this year? Obviously there's been a ton of injuries, a ton of moving parts this year that, I guess nobody could have foreseen coming at this point, but how do you evaluate how Todd Downing has done this year?
You know, I'm not one who is terribly critical of the job he's done. I think he's done a nice job. And you just go back and you look at the stretch, the three games: New England, Jacksonville, and Pittsburgh. The Titans had their four longest drives of the year in terms of time off the clock. In those games, they had four possessions in those three games of more than 8 minutes, and that's at a time with no Julio Jones, no AJ Brown, no Derrick Henry. You know, obviously you don't have the explosive plays in your offense at that point. You don't have that capability. But he kept the offense moving. You know, found ways to move the chains and those sorts of things. Now not all those drives ended up in touchdowns. In fact, only one of them ended up with a touchdown, but. The fact that he was able, I think that illustrates the fact that he's been able to find ways to move the ball. You look at the fact, you know, Dante Foreman is averaging 4.2 yards a carry, you know, when Derrick Henry was averaging 4.3 yards a carry before he got hurt. So they've sort of replicated a lot of, but certainly some of what they lost when Henry got hurt in the person of Foreman. So I think it's been a good year for Downing. I don't think it's been anything that, you know, he's going to throw himself into the conversation for head coaching positions based on what he's done this year, kind of the way Arthur Smith did very quickly when he got that job. But I think Downing has been an effective and pretty good play caller, you know, with some big shoes to fill this year.
Who's your MVP and who's your coach of the year right now, David?
In the NFL?
Yep.
That's a good question. I'm a big believer in, when it comes to coach of the year, that it is harder to keep a team good than it is to make a team good. I tend to lean more in that direction, and I'm not always so impressed with turnaround, but what Brian Flores has done with the Miami Dolphins has really caught my attention this year, and I'm not so sure that he's not the guy I would vote for if I was voting in that situation. And MVP, I guess you have to give it to Aaron Rodgers, almost by default. He's been so good that, you know, that team has the record that it has, and everybody else, you know, he's been sort of the most consistent, the most consistent of the big name performers out there it's probably his turn to win it again here.
David Beauclair from SI.com has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. Does a great job covering the Tennessee Titans. Friend of the show as well. David, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Everybody have a happy new year out there.
Absolutely. Good you buddy. As well. David Beauclair from SI.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. When we come back, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. Joe Rex Row in the questions chair coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Row here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
it is that time of the week. Time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, you are in the questions chair today. I turn things over to you.
Sports or non-sports?
Non-sports. Oh, sorry.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
No, you go right ahead, Michelle. You do whatever you want.
Non-sports, you say?
Non-sports.
Okay. What do you hate most about New Year's Eve?
I got this. I got it.
Okay.
Okay. New Year's Eve is that one holiday that everyone hypes up so much. You're supposed to have this extravagant party, the best plans in the entire world. And I swear, every time, it's like a disappointment, right? It's this hyped up holiday. It's supposed to be this like this amazing celebration. And then it's just like, eh, the ball drops 2022 next year. And here we are. So that is my biggest disappointment on New Year's Eve.
My biggest disappointment is a sports answer, and that's that the college football playoff is on New Year's Eve. I don't like it. I wish that it was on a different day. I don't like the college football playoff being on New Year's Eve. Like, if you have New Year's Eve plans, which as I've gotten older, I have less and less plans on New Year's Eve, which is great. But as when you have New Year's Eve plans, do you really want to stay up till like 10:30 watching a football game? I don't know. I don't like the college football playoff being on New Year's Eve. That's just me.
Agree. That's stupid. But the answer is everything. There's a right answer here. Okay. Everything sucks about New Year's Eve. It's a drunken mess. I don't even like driving in the day. Who knows what's going on out there? If there's a day of the 365 in a year where I just want to be in jammies and like watching a movie, that is the day.
Wait a minute. It's also your birthday, Rex Road, isn't it?
It is, which also makes it suck because, and I don't have time to tell you guys the stories, but when you're young and you do have plans and everybody goes out, see, if it's also your birthday, it's just stupid.
Yeah.
And you get the combo birthday, Christmas present, all this. I don't have time to whine.
Yeah, you got to get ripped off severely.
Yeah, but it's fine. I don't want anything anymore anyway. I just, you know.
He just wants an ATEC machine or Atari right. or whatever.
My ATEC, I'll always have that moment.
That's right.
Okay, sports. Tribute to John Madden here, and we're going to exclude John Madden because he is goated.
That's right.
So give me your all-time best, any sport, any time period, play-by-play announcer, and color commentator.
Ooh.
And if you guys need to think about it, I can go with mine.
I need a minute.
An open-ended one.
Okay. Well, I'll start.
You got it. Go.
Yeah, I'll start with play-by-play. Like, there's a lot. Like, I love Mike Breen. I would like to see him do a lot of things. I'm going to have to go Doc Emrick. I think Doc Emrick is my look. Well, first off, Pete Weber is a GOAT, so there's an answer there. But I will go Doc Emrick for the sake of this discussion. I just think he is awesome. I watched Doc Emrick one time call a water polo. I could not tell you anything about water polo other than it's incredibly impressive that they're able to stay above water. But he made me really enjoy watching water polo. So I will go Doc Emrick as my play-by-play person. For color commentator, I think I'm actually going to go I think I'll go Jeff Van Gundy. People hate Jeff Van Gundy. I love him. I think he's hilarious. So I'll go Doc Emrick and Jeff Van Gundy.
Michelle, you ready?
Do they have to be together like a duo? Because I had two ones.
Oh, no. Different. You can do totally different sports, whatever you want to do.
Okay. My favorite play-by-play announcer is Sean McDonough.
That's a great pick.
He's very versatile, and I always enjoy listening to him. And then analyst, I have to go with Doris Burke just because I've always looked up to her just being a young woman in sports, and I think she's just incredible. She can really do it all. And also, side note, did you guys see the video of her breaking down film with Draymond Green? Really, really great video. You got to see it if you haven't seen it yet.
I saw it. I haven't watched it, but it's on my like.
It's on your to-do list. Okay.
Yes, on your
short list of things you need to watch by me.
There you go. See, there you go. Nice. So I actually hit a lot of I have some honorable mentions, but real quick, my play-by-play all-time, Ernie Harwell. If you know, you know. I think he's the greatest of all time. Detroit Tigers. I mean, he was called the shot heard around the world, Bobby Thompson Giant. I mean, he was traded for a baseball player. He was the Oriole, but he is like my childhood is Ernie Harwell. And if he wanted to go beyond that and be Vince Scully, he could have. my honorable mention for play-by-play, Keith Jackson, Vince Scully, and Doc Emmerich. For color commentary, I'm taking Dickie V. I know it's polarizing. And, you know, I understand, you know, right now he's battling cancer. But apart from that, he is college basketball to me. And, you know, for a long time, it was the combo of high entertainment and hilarity, but also tremendous analysis. My honorable mention would be Doris Burke. Jay Billis, who I think has become, you know, the college basketball, that's who you want. Bill Walton. And the combo of Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy, I love that. I love that whole crew. I agree with you on Breen, but that combo, because those guys are great at ripping on each other and also having fun. So there you go.
Nice.
All right, non-sports. Now, you know, I always have to do a food one. So if you can only have one cooking tool for the rest of your life, one tool, what is your choice? I'm talking to you. You can only do things in the microwave, or you can only do things in the oven, or there's a variety of other options. What's your choice?
It's a very quick answer for me. Give me my grill.
I knew you'd say that.
Give me my grill. Give me my charcoal grill. I'm lighting that thing up and sticking anything and everything on it.
See, I love that answer for you. I don't know how to work a grill, but if my stepdad was cooking, I would pick my grill. But we'll just go with me cooking. I have to do one of those little toaster oven things. You know what I mean? Where it's like the toaster, but you can open it up so it's an oven. So you got a couple different ways, but I think I could live with that.
So this is cheating a little bit, but we have an air fryer that's also an indoor grill. So you can, you have two different things you can put in it. And I'm taking that because everything's amazing in it. You can basically cook anything in the air fryer part, but then the grill, you can grill a steak, you can grill stuff. It's not as good as the charcoal grill. I'm with you. We have a little charcoal grill. I mean, I'm a big fan, but I think I'd go air fryer because you can, you know, you can crisp fries and bacon and stuff like that. So
the air fryer, one of the great inventions in American history.
It's
that's
amazing.
Next level.
All right, last thing, sports. We're going to do another Titans pick 'em.
Okay.
For the playoffs. You can have the Titans with Derrick Henry, but you will have no Taylor Lewan, no David Long, no Julio Jones, no Bud Dupree.
Oh,
or you can have all of those guys, but you have no Derrick Henry. Which Titans team are you taking into the postseason?
Oh, man. That one is very difficult. I will go with the team that has Lewan and Julio and everyone else. For the reason being, I mean, well, I guess my question to you is this. Both teams would still have AJ, right?
Yeah, AJ's a part of both teams.
Oh, yes. Give me Derrick Henry. Yeah, I'll go Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
I'll take my chances with the offensive line.
Yeah, I'm going to go Derrick Henry. I mean, we saw last game, they were able to keep the pocket clean, and Julio hasn't been much of a factor at all this year. So give me Derrick Henry rolling to the Super Bowl.
The Bud Dupree thing makes that really difficult for me,
though. Yeah, it does.
Like, I really like Bud Dupree.
That's exactly that. That's he, to me, is the key point here, because you take him off that pass rush. And I think with David Long, now with Zach Cunningham in, like, you're better equipped. I agree with you on Julio. I agree that they protected well against San Fran, but if you had no Lewan, that's problem. Tough. And all that said, I'm also going to go with the Derrick Henry team. So there you go.
Very nicely done. Joe Rexler, that was an enjoyable edition of The Choice Is Yours. Well done.
Yeah, that was great, Joe.
Thank you. Nice job, guys.
Thank you.
New Year's Eve sucks. We can all agree.
But it's your birthday, so we'll just call it your birthday instead of New Year's Eve, okay?
I don't like those either.
Got to vote for the crock pot on our text line as the one cooking utensil that they would use, the crock pot.
I mean, that's not a bad answer. You know, you're a little bit limited with some things. You know, like you can't get some nice crisp bacon going in the crock pot, you know? But I love the crock pot.
How does no one mention Hubie Brown and his famous painted area? Brilliant X&O analyst on the text line.
I love Hubie. That's a great call. I love him. The only problem with him is he called the Pistons Detroit. And here comes Detroit. I'm like, dude, it's Detroit, bro. Come on, man.
That's probably Hubie Brown was awesome. That's probably what Detroit. People think when I say Titans.
Maybe so.
It's bad.
You've gotten better.
Donovan texts again, says, Bob Uecker is the GOAT. Brewers radio play-by-play. Give me a little Bob Uecker.
I love that. That's a great call. There's a lot of, I mean, you can go deep dive on that one. You can go down the rabbit hole.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Tennessee Titans when we come back. Look ahead at the matchup against Miami. That's coming up next. Each win means even more in the college football playoffs, and that's why FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with 30-1 enhanced odds on any team to win their semifinal game, and that means you can bet $5 and win $150 on any team to make it to the final. Personally, give me Alabama to take down Cincinnati. Give me Georgia to take down Michigan. I've got an all-SEC rematch in the College Football National Championship, but you take it any way you want to take it. Just sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook using promo code ROB and make a deposit to claim your 30-1 enhanced odds. There's no better place to bet the college football playoffs than on America's number one sportsbook. And when you win, FanDuel pays you your winnings in as little as 2 hours. So don't miss your chance to win $150 on a $5 bet on the college football playoffs. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app or head over to sportsbook.fanduel.com and sign up using promo code ROB to get 30-1 odds on any playoff team to win. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. A $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. A max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.